Hi, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. It's Memorial Day weekend, and I had time to sit down and record an episode or two. And I don't have a lot of questions because I haven't accumulated or asked for them, but I do have two questions. Let's see. Let's go to Twitter. And the first question is Trek or Wars? And across, I guess in media, in all forms of media, I would have to say Star Wars. When I was very, very young, Star Wars just sort of changed my life, and it set a bar because I didn't come from like watching the Star Trek series. I went from Star Wars to watching Star Trek the motion picture. And when I saw Star Trek the motion picture with V'ger, I'm like, what the hell is this? And I made a comparison in my head. Young me said, what the hell? What's the the difference is like light and day. And I would say that with comics too. Although there are some Trek comics, especially that DC run, that had some really good arcs in it. And it's just a different type of sci-fi. One is more, political and setting stuff up and doing things and exploring things, and then the other one is more action and like a fairy tale type thing. So yeah, they're very different, but I'll have to go with Star Wars, but I like both properties. I really do enjoy the Star Trek movies quite a bit. But I'd rather watch Star Wars. And then in terms of comic books, I'd rather read a Star Wars comic instead of a Star Trek comic. So across the board, that's how I feel. Had one other question, and that was from at Psy underscore Claus, spelled with C. So thank you for the question. We'll go to one question I got. I like when I get these. These are unsolicited questions, but this is from Dallo Spicer. He goes, two questions. When at cons, shops, etc., do you pick up extra copies of keys if they're a good price? No, I'm not trying to turn a profit. I don't typically sell stuff. So while I like to monitor the speculator market, I don't like to sell, so it's no point in getting multiple copies of anything. I'd rather get more of stuff I don't have than have lots of money's worth of collectibles, I guess you could say. But if I was in it for the money, then it would be probably different. What key do you have the most copies of? I didn't buy multiple copies of anything until the 90s, and if I had to say, it's probably Spawn. Let's see how much I have. And I did sell one copy of Spawn for like $25. I have four copies of Spawn number one, two copies of Spawn number two, and then I went to single copies pretty much. So, let's see. Youngblood, there's probably, I won't have four, I'll probably have a couple. Let's see. Youngblood number one, I have two copies and one copy of a second print and a couple of doubles on Youngblood. Let's see, was I buying multiple Valiant? I don't think so, but I'll look. Like Magnus, Robot Hunter, Robot Fighter. Yeah, I don't have multiple. I have multiple copies of 21 and 20, but it's not easy for my database to tell you what I have like multiple copies. At least I haven't found a query. There's probably a query I could write where I said, go through the entire database and tell me anything that I have more than, two copies of. There's that Hawkman issue, I think. The first series. Was it Hawkman and Atom? Maybe it's Hawkman and Atom, because the series. Let's try that. Oh, Death of Superman. Superman 75. Let's see what I got on that. I know I sold a copy of Superman 75, but I sold it for dirt cheap because it was somebody I knew that missed out on it. So I gave him a good deal. I sold it for like $10, and at the time it was higher than that. Let's see. Superman. $75. I have not too many. I only have one copy, one of the first and one of the second. So that's it. It surprises me. I thought I had more than that. Sounds like Harley's snoring. Interesting. Oh, I do have three copies of 75, but they're all different. I have one of the bagged, one of the unbagged, and a second print. So, yeah, I wasn't big on multiple copies of anything. And let's see that Hawkman Adam. Those ones I. Maybe it's Adam Hawkman. Adam got the top billing. So I guess that tells me that he was probably a better seller. Adam and Hawkman. So this series was from 1969. So, yeah, I've got four copies of number 45. So those ones I pick up. Because I just can't, if I see them in a like $10 bin or something like that, I'll pick them up anytime. That's when Jean Loring lost her mind had a Joe Kubert cover, a really really cool book. So yeah, that spawned from Hawkman and the Atom. I almost have a full run of that first run of Hawkman, and then I have full runs of Hawkman going forward. The Atom, I have it. Everything except for volume one. And volume one, I have a lot, but I have a long way to go. And some of those books are really expensive. Like, I don't. I have mostly like from 21 up. Maybe 19's my earliest issue. Well, actually, 8 is my earliest issue. But, yeah, those are going to be a trip to get if I ever. I've really been on a Ray Palmer kick, though, lately. I've been reading a lot since I revisited Sword of the Atom on the app for our podcast. It actually won. And I started reading the other one out. That was Sword of the Atom, and then there were three specials, yearly specials after that of Sword of the Atom. And then I started reading Power of the Atom after that. So those are the questions. And there's been a lot of speculation about what's going to happen to previews once Marvel separates. I'll talk about that. I think Marvel will still have a catalog through Penguin Random House. I heard that DC's coming back to print with their catalog. That surprises me because I don't see the value in that. Like, I don't see how they could say, oh, when we stopped doing print, we sold less copies. Like, there's got to be somebody telling the bean counters, that, hey, we need this back because we're not doing as well without these advertisements, these paper copies. And they even stopped printing those little flyers at the shop. They were. It was like a poster on one side, But it was only like 8.5 by 11. It wasn't big. It's a poster on one side, and then it was folded in half. It would make a poster if you unfold it, and on the other side, it would just tell you the release dates for all the books of the month. And they stopped printing that as well. So you need to go out, Harley, because you keep knocking. It's Memorial Day weekend, and it's really gloomy. And she's a little upset because we haven't gone for a walk. So, yeah, I was fortunate enough to record with Drew because his brother Kyle was away and on vacation in Chicago. So I got to record a Comics for Fun and Profit. So keep a lookout for that. It's already out. If you want to hear me talk about speculation and such, you can check that episode out. You see what episode that is. I should have retweeted it on my feed here. So if I go to my profile, of course I post so much that it's sometimes hard to find stuff. I spent a lot of time this weekend reading The Coven and really enjoying that. And The Coven was created by Ian Churchill and Jeff Loeb. And it sounds like it's about witches, but it's not. It's about a female vampire, a guy that can change his density, a priest that sort of sold his soul to the devil, named Scorch, and Spellcaster. She's the witch that got the abilities from her mom. And she has an evil sister. I don't know what her name is because it was just called the Dark Witch, but I don't know what her name is. And the vampire is called Phantom, spelled with an F. And she was born a twin of. She had a brother, and her brother was born a werewolf, and they don't get along very well. But, I've been enjoying it. It went from Awesome Comics. No, it went from. I think the original was Image Comics, or maybe it was Maximum. I can't remember. And then it went from there. No, I think they were both Awesome. So they were both released as Awesome Comics. There was Volume 1 and Volume 2. Volume 1 consisted of 6 issues. And Jeff Loeb and Ian Churchill, his art is like awesome. And it's kind of like an addictive soap opera. And Jeff Loeb penned the plot, but I think it was created by Ian Churchill. And then, Volume 1 ended abruptly. And there was a weird note at the end of Volume 1 that was very cryptic from Jeff Loeb, saying that they had fallen upon hard times because of a lightning strike. And I don't know if a lightning strike like wiped out their hard drive, or if it meant like if it was like really a lightning strike, or it just meant that they were hit with the financial woes. And if you guys know what it is, I'd sure like to know. Because from what I've gained by just doing my own research, is that Coven was one of the most successful of the books that was in Awesome Comics. And that ended abruptly. And then issue six, which I read, it ended on a cliffhanger that was never resolved. So I thought six would bleed into volume two, issue one. And that one opened up with they're at a gravesite of one of their friends. And they get attacked by like death ninjas at the gravesite, and then one of them gets ported to hell, and from there they have to steal something from a library, and that library turns out to be Supreme. So that jumps into a 3-issue story arc, and then from there Coven went to Avatar, and Avatar was publishing Liefeld books for, it seems like, about a year, maybe a year and a half, and they had like a weird publishing strategy where they'd print like two-story arc, usually. Sometimes it was three-story arc. I'm reading Glory now, but it's like issue one half, cardstock cover, beautiful covers, and then it would print. And then it would be an issue of one. So there was Coven Spellcaster, Coven Tooth and Nail. I still need the half. No, I still need the half issue of one of the series, Spellcaster. So I'm missing one. I have issue one of it, but I'm missing one half. And then Spellcaster, I read. And Tooth and Nail, I read. Except Tooth and Nail, I think, has issue three. And I think I placed an order for that because I wanted to do it. And then I read a lot of Todd McFarlane's company released The Crow, which really has me itching to watch the movie again, like really bad. And I enjoyed the heck out of the first three issues. The second three. Well, I was missing issue four. No, I'm missing issue three, so I didn't get to finish the first three, but the first three are kind of revisiting James O'Barr's story, just a different retelling. And then issue four is like a one-shot story arc, very confusing, about like a grandma that protects kids, and then she ends up getting killed, and Harley's going nuts. But, and then five and six are about. I still need to read six, but it's the conclusion to. It's a two-part. No, I actually did finish that. It's a two-part arc about a woman called Sin, and she's trying to kill a friend of Eric Draven, and he gets caught up in that. And his friend doesn't seem like he's heroic type character. He seems like he's committed his own sins, and Sin is there to kill him. And there's a Native American character, much like the Crow, that a wolf follows him, and he's like a sniper, and he actually kills Sin. So yeah, that was an okay story, but it's not as good as the first three. But it did get me to go down a tangent with a MyComicShop.com order and buy a lot of the kitchen sink Crow. And then I was wondering, did I really have the original James O'Barr series? And I was poking around, and I didn't have the Caliber one, and then I didn't have the reprint trade that came from Kitchen Sink. So I'm like, what do I have? But I remember reading it. What are you doing, Harley Quinn? And it turns out that I had done the Tundra reprint, so that's the one that I actually read from the Crow. But having said that, let's. Oh, Dallo has one more question. I'll save that one for next one. So let's bookmark this. Add to bookmarks. And let's proceed with the weekly reads. So we're gonna start with March 1st and go to March 7th. We'll start at the bottom. We only had one movie. This was an HBO Max release during the COVID times, and it was called Judas and the Black Messiah. It's the story of the Black Panthers and the leader of the Black Panthers. And turns out to be a really good story, based on it's based on historical fact. I don't know what liberties they took, because this is my first exposure to it. To like, wasn't taught a lot about the Black Panthers in history, or never investigated them. I was always aware of it, the movement. But I gave it a 4 out of 5. I really enjoyed it on HBO Max, and HBO Max is one of my top streaming services, right next to Netflix. I I think they're better than Disney Plus. I just find more of a variety, more stuff to watch. Disney Plus is like, okay, let's release something, and then I watch it, and then I'll wait a little bit. Let's release something, and then I watch it, and then I'll wait a little bit, and it's like all the other stuff I've seen, so, or I don't have a desire to rewatch. But now let's jump into the comics. So there were only a total of 13 comics that week. There were 9 Marvel, 1 Keen Spot, 1 DC, 1 Dark Horse, 1 Boom. We'll start with the 3 out of 5. And I gave Transgressions Volume 1 through 4 Sketchbooks a I forgot to give myself credit for that, but it really wasn't a read, but I'm going to put it down as a Kickstarter. This is one that I ordered kind of based on the art samples that I saw, but I didn't realize it was a sketchbook, so I was kind of bummed out about it. It did have some sequential art stories in there, but they were like 3-page max stories, and it was all right. I give it a 3 out of 5. Like, I enjoyed looking at it, but I'm not really a fan of sketchbooks, so, if I want art, I like want an original art and something that I ask for. But it was pretty good if you like that. It was very like weird looking art style that's macabre and Eric Powell type looking, if you know what I mean, like just weird characters and weird. It does have a lot of nudity. I was like scrolling through it and I was like, "Ooh. There's a little bit of this in here. Maybe can't show that." But it was good. And then 3 out of 5 Ninjas and Robots, number 3. I actually love this book, but I give it a 3 out of 5 because I don't love the story. I just like love the art. So I like come into a medium of 3 of 5. But I like it enough that I buy all the covers. And they're not all by the same guy that draws the interiors. Cover A is usually that. But love that. But my note is beautifully drawn ninja fight a giant killer robot. The main character, who does not remember who she is healing after her last battle in issue 2. We then get to the 4 out of 5s. We have X-Men Demon Days number 1, who I thought was going to be a spec pick, and you talked about like multiple copies. I bought almost every cover, including the J. Scott Campbell 1 in 25 variant, which was kind of expensive. But I bought a bunch of these, thinking this thing was gonna be the bomb for Peach Momoko. And it did go into second and third prints because I bought those as well. Because not because Peach Momoko, she draws covers for everything, but because she drew the interiors. So if I look up Demon Days number 1 as a spec pick, and I see what people are selling them for. Well, you could get the Mark Brooks and the set of Mark Brooks for $10. So if you think that I paid like $3.99 plus discount, I actually did all right. But they're going for $5. They're all at least cover. On eBay. And there's a couple of them here I don't even have that are exclusive, like black and whites, that are really nice. I didn't go for those. I'm trying to see if I could find the J. Scott Campbell. To see what I did on that. I don't see it. There's the Nick Lee. So I don't see it. Let me see if I type J. Scott Campbell and see if I could get an issue of that. Well, see, in that case, I think I did all right. It's the 1 in 50. So it wasn't the 1 in 25, it was the 1 in 50. There was a 1 in 25, but it was black and white, and I didn't get that one. I got the color variant, 1 in 50. And you could buy it now for 40. I think I spent $29.99. So, I don't know. But the story wise, I gave it a 4 out of 5. Artistically, it was better than the story. If you like fables, it was sort of like a the story of Japanese fables, and with Marvel characters like Venom, he turned out to be a snake, and like Wolverine was a dog, and things like that. So if you're into like alternate stories, you might like X-Men Demon Days. The Last Witch, number 2, that was Boom. Cyrosie goes to rescue Brahm and finds the witch who killed her friend. She rescues Brahm, but it's the grandmother who's also a witch, but she's like the good witch. And at the fair that her father went to, it was destroyed, and her father is dead by the hands of witches. So it turned out to be really dark from the first one. Power Pack number 2 through 4, the big bad and mentor turns out to be the wizard and steals all of Power Pack's power. They have to ask for help from Wolverine to try to get their powers back. We had Static number 6, which I didn't take any notes on, but this was the Milestone comic. I could kind of guess what was happening around this time. Is there was a there was it was either a team up with one of the Blood Syndicate, where he went to attack a drug stronghold, only to find out that he teamed up with another drug, Holocaust from the Blood Syndicate, who's a drug dealer himself. So it turned out to be like a draw, because he had to leave that situation. He knew he was in a bad situation. I think that's what happened in that issue. Yeah, although I didn't take notes. We have a Cable 45 through 49. This is Zero Tolerance, where Bastion and his goons invade a mansion, and Cable works to stop Bastion from stealing files about mutants from the mansion. This is really good. The X-Men are nowhere on site, but Cable does rescue Caliban, who is sick in one of the rooms, and frees him, or like lets him go in the Morlock tunnels while the mansion's being attacked. Cable realized that Bastion has data on their loved ones, so he contacts Nate Gray, the X-Man, to help. The story ends with both of them injured and Cable not remembering where Bastion went. Cable used his powers to mind wipe all of Bastion's soldiers. Irene Merriweather is a reporter for a tabloid magazine who is given a job of finding out who the red-headed woman is that's with Sebastian Shaw, because this is a gossip magazine that she works for. She really wants to work for the Daily, I say Daily Planet, but it's Daily Bugle. I'm switching universes. And does some real investigation, which leads to the Hellfire Club, Shaw, and Donald Pierce. There is a discussion that a caterer remembers them talking about something at a party, and that person turns out to be Cable they were talking about. And the caterer is then found dead when Irene goes back to talk to him, and then finds all her co-workers dead at the newspaper that she works for. She is then being stalked by the Hellfire goons to kill her. Cable saves her. Later, her and Cable have to fight Paladin and the Hellfire groups. So that's a lot of adventure in there, and really enjoyed that. We got f the 5 out of 5s now are Fear Case number 1. That's two Secret Service agents try to uncover the mystery of the mysterious death case that leads them to a murder of a husband that was done by the wife. The case may be in the hands of the girlfriend of the husband. So the woman had the case, and then it led to the death of her husband. He was having an affair with another woman, And then she gets her hands on that case, and it's kind of like a 100 bullet suitcase that has a mystery in it, and it causes nothing but harm and death. So you always want to give the suitcase to somebody that you want bad things to happen to. So that's the fear case, and it goes back in history to like the Nazi times and times before that. And there's like Matt Kent does a good job of giving like historical references through time as the issue goes on. And it was the only 5 out of 5 I gave that week. So then we go to March 8th through March 14th. And we had 23 comics read that week. Two Image, one Marvel, one IDW, one Floating Point, three Dynamite, 13 DC, two Boom. And so that's how the breakdown of comics for 23. As far as movies and TV, I had a 4 out of 5 Coming to America. That's the sequel that was on Amazon Prime with Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall reprising their roles. And it's like coming with the number 2 America to represent that it's coming to America too. Well, it was funny, very same formula with just different people, but really well done. And some of the things at the barber shop where Arsenio and them dress up as old people. Turns out to be pretty doggone cool, Eddie Murphy and Arsenio. And then the 5 out of 5 was Warrior, which is on HBO, which got renewed for a third season. If you like Deadwood, you will love this. This is in the 1800s in San Francisco when the Chinese were being brought over for labor, and their labor rates were so low that it was causing conflict with the Irish and all the other people that were working there trying to keep food on the table. So there's a lot of racial tension, and there's Chinese gangs fighting over opium and tea and all kinds of stuff, trying to, or there's whorehouses and all kinds of stuff. And it's crazy, and a lot of kung fu, and very cool story. Like it a lot. We get into the 3 out of 5s. We have Future State, Kara Zor-El, Superwoman, number 1 and 2. Kara has a bitter relationship with Clark and John, so she makes camp in a community on the moon where she protects people that live there. Later, an alien named Lanari, who has a diamond that allows her to steal Superwoman's power. Superwoman has to protect Lanari from those of her race trying to steal the diamond. We have Sonya Versal number 1. This is a multiverse of Sonyas, and one sorceress Sonya gets Orange Sonya to go after and kill Red Sonya. We then get into the 4 out of 5s. We have Luna number 1 and 2. Luna joins a hippie vampire cult, and once you get in, you can't escape. We have Spawn number 315 from Image Comics. Medieval Spawn and Spawn do battle with Omega Spawn. That's still going on. It's a really long story arc. Monolith joins their team, but is also killed by Omega Spawn. It appears that Cog is possessed by Plague Spawn, and you'll see how that pans out. But it isn't what I thought at this point in time. Nonstop Spider-Man number 1. There's a new drug on the street, and Spider-Man is trying to save his friends from the A-plus drug. Baron Zemo defeats a branch of Hydra, and he may be the new big bad with this A-plus drug. We have Sonya the Superpowers number 1 and 2. Sonya is given a witch symbol to protect her to go after a sorcerer, and several superpowers, Project Superpowers, are after her. We have New Gods number 12 through 19. This is volume 1, and 12 through 19 came back after Jack Kirby left. So the New Gods invade Apocalypse to find Darkseid gone, and that he's after 6 people that have the anti-life equation. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Orion, Lightray, Mentron, Jezebel. I think this is the first appearance of Jezebel in number 12. Forager and Lonar are assigned to protect these individuals but fail. The Source Wall loses power, and Darkseid has the anti-life equation. At the end, Darkseid wins, and the New Gods have to retreat. And it is continued in the Adventure Comics anthology. Let Them Live, number 3. This is a digital-only comic. It's the first appearance of a new Batman villain. Name is Bookbinder, which has a very creepy vibe because he kills people in the library and like strips their skin off and uses it as bookbinding. It's pretty insane. It's really well told one shot. We have Nine Hunters, number 1. It's the last 4 out of 5, which means I really like it. A father protects his son. This is from Floating World Press. In a crime-infested future that has broken up into city zones, they have to find scraps to survive. And one night in the police state, the father loses the two sons, but takes one to the broker and saves part of him and turns him into a cyborg. Later in life, that cyborg son is on the police and invading drug warehouses when he runs into the brother he thought to be dead. We have Stray Dogs, number 1. A dog goes, this is 5 out of 5, means I loved it, from Image Comics. A dog goes for a shot at a vet, and the next thing she knows, she's at a house with a lot of other dogs. She then is given a scarf to keep her warm, and she remembers that her owners were killed by her new master. She is now in the house with the killer and has to ask the dogs there for help. But no one believes her except possibly one dog. We have Savage Dragon, number 257. Maxine is questioning Malcolm's relationship with Paul. Paul wants to marry Alex. Angel is getting ready for a wedding and wants Malcolm and Paul at the wedding in Chicago. North Force is battling Thor and Son. The Son binds Malcolm and Thor's powers to his hammer. Malcolm dodges the hammer and Thor kills his own son. And this is still bleeding over into the current series. So we have Future State Legion of Superheroes, number 1 and 2. I forgot that I gave this a 5 out of 5, but it was really good. Element Lab destroyed a lot of worlds in the future, but was being controlled by the Titanians. It takes Saturn Girl and the reforming the Legion of Superheroes to make things right. We have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: The Last Ronin, number 2. This gives the story on how Mikey lost his whole family. He is living with April and her daughter, and they are working to start a rebellion. And that's it for Mike M's Weekly Reads, the Memorial Day edition. I'm going to try to do one more episode just so I have one in the can. I want to thank Dallo for the questions. Because that he always comes through when I need questions, and okay, I got quite a few more questions that I could talk about in the next episode. So I also wanted to thank Sai for his question that came in, and we'll talk to you in a bit. But you can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. And you've been listening to Mike M's Weekly Reads, located at geekbrunchpodcast.com. And you can find us at Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button, follow all the episode threads there. We're slowly gaining people over on the Facebook page. And you can reach me easiest at Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch, and that's MYERS. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you again very soon. Bye-bye.